logo, Tubi Originals. A rock formation juts out from a body of water as the sun sets behind it. Logo, Mar Vista Entertainment. A flaming arrow shoots up from the letter O in the logo, the ninth house. Text, Mar Vista Entertainment presents.
I don't know.
A street lamp illuminates at dusk as a woman on her phone walks past it.
No, absolutely not. Because I'm in the middle of working out, I'm not going to just hurry over there every time you call.
A shadowy figure walks behind her.
No, I actually ended up walking most of it. Turns out, I hate running. So yeah, let me finish up with this not run, and I'll call you when I'm done. Bye.
She hangs up the call, then stops dead in her tracks and frowns. She turns and glances back as the figure stands still on the path behind her. She sighs, then continues forward. She stops again, and the figure stops. She makes a phone call as she walks forward. The figure follows behind her. She hangs up, then glances over her shoulder as the figure passes her. She grimaces, then turns to walk in the opposite direction. As she turns her back, the figure jumps her and begins to strangle her. She struggles against their grip. Her phone remains face down on the paved path that carves through the forest. Title, Alone in the Dark. Credits, Novi Brown, Terrell Carter. A river carves through a mountain range shaded by a cloudy sky. Credits, Kimberly Daugherty, Christopher Bencomo, Judy Kane, Megan Davis, Carly Eldridge with Malcolm Goodwin and Chris Marshall. Casting by Lindsay Chagg, CSA. Pontoon boats dock along the sides of the river. Credits, music by Christopher French, makeup design by Veronica Rodart. Costume design, Bob Miller and Steve Howard. Production design by Brian Barrios. Edited by Imran Sheikh. Cinematography by Christopher Carrillo. Line producer Christy Forsvietic. Co-executive producers Brant Daugherty, Kimberly Daugherty. Co-executive producer Megan Elstrom. Executive producer David Sweeney. Executive producers Marianne C. Wunsch, Larry Grimaldi. Executive producers Hannah Pillemer, Fernando Shu. Produced by Autumn Federici, Jake Helgren. Written by Brant Daugherty and Kimberly Daugherty. A missing sign for the woman who was attacked on the trail hangs on a tree with text, Missing, Cheyenne Clark. Credits, directed by Brant Daugherty. A woman's ankle bracelet buzzes as she prepares to take a step. She plants a red flag in the soil where she was going to step.
Hi.
She waves at her neighbors, a man, woman and a young boy, who stand outside. He reads a news headline, Michael Miller and ex-wife convicted in market manipulation scheme. The woman with the bracelet is Michael's ex-wife. The boy's basketball rolls in the street and she grabs the boy before a car hits him.
No!
The boy's father scowls at her and she returns to her yard as her ankle bracelet beeps.
On the first day, Miss Collins.
Text. Day 1 of 365. The parole officer hands a yellow slip to Ms. Collins, then walks away from her property. She slumps upstairs onto her balcony, then furrows her brows as she notices a photo on her table. She picks up the photo taken of her as she plants red flags around the perimeter of her house. She frowns and glances out at her vast riverside property, a three-story home with a slanted roof. She sips wine as a woman places a fishbowl on the table.
You got me a fish?
It's a house arrest warming gift. I know you don't like to be alone, so.
She eyes the red betta fish.
Nowhere to go. Bree, you live in a multi-million dollar lakefront home. You have a wine cellar. Most people would kill for a life like this. I know you weren't a big fan of the plea deal.
Because I'm innocent.
Of course you are. But convincing a jury is another story. I've been a lawyer a while, and I've seen how these things can go. A year of house arrest is getting off easy. You could be where Michael is right now.
She tilts her head and Bree nods, then shrugs.
I know we didn't have a choice. I didn't just hire you because you're my friend.
She smiles at Bree, who holds a wine glass.
I hired you because you are a good lawyer.
Plus, if I were in jail, who would drink all Michael's fancy wine?
There she is.
This is a 2005 from the blah, blah, blah region of Germany. Now, the interesting thing about this vintage is that it's guaranteed to get you drunk.
Pinky up, bitch. Be classy.
They raise pinkies and sip.
Earthy.
I'm getting hints of elderflower.
Oh,
and a little younger flower.
Bree puts her hand on her hip.
Hey, you want to stay tonight? Can have a slumber party like we did in college. Face masks and manicures and nicer wine.
I wish. I can't. Court in the morning.
This place just gets so creepy at night.
You'll be fine. You have a whole year to get used to it. What are you gonna do with all that time anyway?
At night, all lights in the house are off except for the top floor. Bree grabs another bottle of wine from a rack with dozens of unopened bottles.
Hello? What do you mean my signal went out? Okay. I'll head upstairs right now. Thank you.
She grabs 5 wine bottles from the cellar, then goes upstairs. A ticker advances with text. Day 96 of 365. Bree lounges on a boat docked on the side of the river as her parole officer approaches.
Miss Collins?
Bree shields her eyes.
Your electronic monitoring device is the property of the state of California. Removing or tampering with the device will activate the internal microphone and will result in additional legal charges. It is your responsibility to stay within the loud perimeter and keep the monitor charged at all times.
I remember, Nancy.
Bree rubs her neck, then laces her fingers.
Do you want a cup of coffee?
No.
It'll only take a second.
No, thank you. I'm fine.
House, start coffee. House, start coffee.
Coffee will be ready in 2 minutes.
You ever get used to the smart house thing?
I'm trying. It always seems to like my ex-husband more than me. Do you want sugar?
Miss Collins.
Bree.
I know you've been feeling restless the last few months. Most people take online classes or learn a new skill. Is there anything that you're working towards?
Not to brag, but I have become the best at binge-watching reality dating shows.
Nancy eyes her, then opens her folder and examines her notes as Bree hugs her knees to her chest.
I'd like to go back to school. Finish my MBA.
Are you socializing at all?
Haven't you heard? I'm the pariah at Sandpoint Lake. Bringing down property values in a single bound.
She rolls her eyes.
Also, I have a fish. So my social life is basically perfect.
I have had to dispatch the police repeatedly the last 3 months.
I know, it's just the signal on this thing.
Is that something that's going to continue?
Bree frowns and shakes her head.
No. Good.
Any contact with your ex-husband?
No.
She frowns and hangs her head.
But he does call every day.
He is not permitted to call anyone who's not on this list.
Well, I'll just let him know the next time he calls.
Nancy scribbles a note and shuts her folder.
Are you sure you can't stay?
I will see you again next month. I do not want to hear from you until then. Love Island. If you're looking for the best trashy dating show, check out Love Island.
Nancy rises from the chair with a grin and leaves the living room, which is littered with empty wine bottles.
Coffee is ready.
Bree dips her head back. At night, only the top floor of the house glows with light. The fireplace on the ground floor is darkened. An alarm system display on the wall reads, "Security system armed." The lock changes from red to green and flashes with text, "Disarm." Water trickles down from a waterfall faucet as Bree brushes her teeth. She bends over and spits out the toothpaste, then stands upright and gazes at herself in a large mirror. She has her hair tied in a white towel. She relaxes herself into a bathtub with her eyes closed. She gazes over at her phone as it buzzes on the marble window ledge. The call comes from the correctional facility.
Hell no, Michael.
She ignores the call, then shuts her eyes.
How's play classical music?
Classical music playing in the master bathroom.
She jumps at the sound.
House, stop. House, turn off the music. House, shut up!
She furrows her brows and remains still as she cranes her head to listen. She wraps up in a towel and grabs a taser on the nightstand. She slowly makes her way through the bedroom with the lights on. Eyes wide, she advances into the hallway and tests the taser. She jumps at the bolts of bright blue light. She turns on a light in the hallway which adjoins the stairway. She travels downstairs to the living room. The sensor lights illuminate above her as she advances to the ground level. She gazes at a door cracked open. The door shuts. She flings open the door and looks around inside. A lamp lies on his side in the bedroom beside a shattered photo frame. She holds the taser out from her as she approaches the glass shard surrounding the photo of herself in a graduation cap and gown. She notices a door to the balcony is open. She slams it shut and locks the door, then hops over the glass.
House, are the doors locked?
All doors are locked.
What the hell happened?
Day 97.
I think somebody was in the house.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And the alarm didn't even go off. Michael's the only other person that has access to it.
Honey, he can't break into your house from jail. Is that a stun gun?
Bree nods with arms crossed.
Got it online.
Look, I know you didn't want to call the police.
I am not on good terms with them. They're always coming here to check the stupid monitor.
She jumps at the knock.
Well, I called them for you just in case.
She answers the door and a man enters.
I'm sorry to give you ladies a scare. I'm Detective Joe Hall. I'm with the County Sheriff's Department.
Hi, I'm Bree. I live here. This is my friend, Sophia. She's the one that called about the disturbance.
You live here too?
No, just visiting.
Is there a man in the house?
Sophia furrows brows.
So it's only you, all alone here?
Bree crosses her arms as Joe squints.
Hey.
He points his folder at her.
I know you. Aren't you Michael Miller's wife?
Ex-wife?
You know, he pissed a lot of people off with what he did. A couple of guys in our department lost everything.
Well, good thing I am not him.
He nods with a big smile.
Right. So, why don't you walk me through what happened?
Sophia and Bree glance at each other. Then Bree shows Joe into the bedroom with the broken lamp and frame. He squats down and picks up the broken photo frame.
Graduation photo. What school?
USC, cross-country scholarship.
Impressive.
He looks around the ceiling.
Any security cameras in the house?
No. My ex refused. This is our vacation home. He wanted privacy.
Is anything missing? Stolen?
I don't think so.
She looks around the room. Joe shuts his notebook and paces towards her.
Are you sure you didn't leave that door open? Breeze could have knocked that over.
You think she's going to leave a door open? Like you said, it is just her, all alone here.
Well, you know, these houses on the water, they settle every now and again.
It wasn't because the house is on the water.
Unless a crime has been committed, there isn't much we can do. I can fill out a report, and I'm happy to do that if that's what you'd like.
He reaches in his pocket.
But if anything else happens, give me a call, personally.
She takes his business card.
Oh, and keep those doors closed.
He leaves the house.
Ugh! What an asshole!
Ugh, cops can be so useless sometimes.
Look, I'll stay the night. We'll get some wine, try and forget about this.
Bree shrugs.
Get the Cabernet.
Bree rolls her eyes and leans over the bar.
Sophia! Sophia, are you okay?
Sophia runs upstairs with a bottle.
Look what I found.
That's one of Michael's favorites.
She grins and holds the bottle.
Do it. Speaking of Michael's favorites. Look what I found under the couch.
She holds a red thong with tongs.
They aren't mine.
Ew. Do you think
that Michael brought other women over to cheat on me without me knowing? Why, yes, I'm beginning to suspect it. Ugh. Probably why he never installed cameras.
That's enough. We're cleansing the whole damn place.
They burn items in the fire pit.
And all Michael's stuff?
Everything flammable.
Ashes to ashes.
Dust to dust.
She tosses a photo of them onto the fire and sighs with a smile.
How did that feel?
Good. Really, really good.
Can I do one? Give me a little taste.
She picks up a black silk tie.
Damn, this is nice.
Yep, just toss it in.
I'm just saying, the man had good taste. He did pick you. Screw you, Michael!
Yeah. Screw you, Michael!
She tosses the red thong into the fire.
Kill me.
I'm so puffy.
Thank you.
Sophia hands her a mug.
I'm never drinking again.
Bree drinks from the blue mug.
At least not until later tonight.
Sophia stares outside.
Sophia.
Hey, I'm not judging.
No, Sophia, come here.
She follows Bree, then furrows her brows as they find 9 photos taped to the window facing the river. The photos feature Bree and Sophia smiling and burning Michael's things in the fire pit.
Someone left this picture of me the first day I was here. Then my house got broken into. And now, all of this, it's gotta have something to do with Michael.
Michael? But how does that make sense?
Maybe he hired someone. I don't know, he has a lot of friends.
And a lot of enemies. Could be someone trying to get back at him through you.
It's comforting. What am I supposed to do? Should I call the police again?
I don't know, they weren't exactly helpful yesterday.
So then what, do I get murdered and then call the police, Sophia?
Jesus, Bree, let's not jump straight to murder. Take a deep breath.
Sophia sits Bree down and she laces her fingers.
I'm not trying to say this to scare you, but all this, the photos, the open door, whoever's doing this is toying with you. This is a game to them.
Well, I don't want to play.
Your only other option is to leave, and you're kind of stuck here.
So what do I do? How do I win?
You write your own rules. Take control of the situation.
What? Take control? What does that mean? Buy a gun?
Ew, no. Hire one. Have you considered personal security?
She hands Bree a card.
If the cops can't help, what is Rent-A-Cop gonna do?
He's there to keep you safe. Give him a chance. You worked for a client a few months back. The man is good at what he does. Think about it. You gotta protect yourself.
Bree shakes her head with a frown. At night, Bree pours herself yet another glass of red wine as she stands in her bedroom. She answers her buzzing phone.
This is a collect call from Bancroft Correctional Facility. Say yes or press 1 to accept charges.
Yes.
She shuts her eyes.
Michael.
I'm so glad you answered. How are you?
Why are you calling me?
To make sure you're all right. I've been worried about you.
She leans over the bed.
Have you been watching me?
Why would I need to do that? I know exactly where you are and for how long. I bet you're in the bedroom at the lake house right now. How many bottles of my wine have you gone through? I wanted you to know. I'm being released.
What? You've only been in jail for 3 months. How?
Good behavior.
Michael smiles.
You remember Judge Getman? I spoke with him and we both decided I've paid my debt to society. I'd love to see you.
She hangs up the call and throws the phone onto the brown bedsheet. She picks up Xavier Johnson's private security business card. Text, day 99 of 365. In the morning, a man parks a red and white van outside.
Hey. Bree Collins.
You must be Xavier? Thank you for the house call.
Here to accommodate. Want to run me through what's going on?
Can we talk in the back?
The father next door eyes her.
Mine?
Xavier grabs an apple.
Help yourself.
So you need some personal security?
Yeah. Somebody's been watching me, and now they're letting me know that they're watching me.
Got any idea who's doing that?
My ex? Michael Miller?
Michael Miller.
He furrows his brows as he chews.
Michael Miller that went to prison for the pump and dump scheme.
She tucks her hair away from her face and gazes out at the river with a frown.
Have you contacted the police?
Yep. They won't help me. At least not yet.
Sounds about right.
I have 9 months left until my sentence is up. I just need some security to keep an eye on me, make sure I'm safe. How can you help?
He eats another apple slice.
Nah, I'm good.
You're good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Are you serious?
Thanks for calling. Good luck, and thanks for the apple.
Are you serious?
Yeah, look, I'm not a prison guard. Sitting around here guarding you for 9 months is not exactly my dream job.
She stands with hands on her hips.
I understand. It's honestly probably too dangerous for you anyway. I need someone who knows how to handle themselves. Plus, you're a little bit on the skinny side.
Xavier turns to her.
Are you actually doing this?
Do what?
He walks back upstairs.
Trying to appeal to fragile point in my masculinity to win me over.
Is it working?
No.
Okay, fine. I will pay you double. Whatever you're making on another job, I will beat that.
He sits at her balcony table and examines the photos.
You really think your ex-husband would go this far?
He's the smartest man I know. He's also the most vindictive. Through the years, he had me sign things for taxes and retirement. Or so he told me. I trusted and loved my husband. In return, he built a mountain of evidence linking me to his crimes. When he was arrested and I finally left him, he blackmailed me, trying to make me stay.
She shakes her head.
I didn't. So then he took me down with him as an aider and abettor.
Was he ever violent? Yeah.
She taps her fingers against her arm.
Still, we shouldn't shouldn't close the door on any other possibilities.
Who else would be stalking me? And why?
He taps the table.
I don't know. Could be anybody at this point. But I do know that there's another young lady around your age that went missing around here.
I remember reading about this. Never found her.
Yeah.
He examines the missing poster.
So you think that might have something to do with what's happening to me?
I don't know. Sure hope not.
She shakes her head.
No. It has to be Michael. I've been saying this from the start, and nobody is listening to me. Michael has put me through hell for years.
I hear you.
He nods and grabs the poster.
When Cheyenne went missing, police never found any evidence of a crime. They said she was an adult and that she could just leave whenever she wanted to without notice. My point is, I'm listening. I hear you, and I believe you. And I'll do whatever I can to keep you safe.
She licks her lip. Text. Day 100 of 365. She sets the security code on the door as Xavier watches. He locks a door from inside, then hangs curtains over the large balcony windows facing the river. He draws the curtains closed, then stands back with his hands on his hips. Bree pulls the handle on the John boat engine but is unable to start it up. Xavier gives it a try and the engine starts. She smiles up at him as she sits in the boat and he squats on the dock beside her. The boat takes off from the dock. She eyes her ankle monitor as the boat speeds away from the dock. She gazes down at the monitor once again, then back at the motor. Xavier paces on the dock as he watches smoke rise up from the motor while Bree is unaware. It stops and bursts into flames.
Bree!
He waves his hands overhead as thick black smoke rises up from the motor. She coughs and fans at the motor. She loses her footing and falls back into the water.
Hey!
He sets her down on the dock and she coughs.
I'm not sure that's how we want.
Nancy and Xavier laugh as Bree sits on the deck steps wearing a robe.
I'm gonna go easy on you today, Miss Collins. But if it happens again, we will add to your sentence. I'll send you a bill for the ankle monitor.
Listen, just keep in touch if anything.
Day 101.
Doing okay. A little shaken up, but I'm fine. Any idea what happened with the boat motor? Xavier's looking into it, but no, not yet. Sophia, I don't know what would have happened if he weren't here. Nice to have a bodyguard around.
Sophia and Bree gaze down at him.
Especially one as fit as he is. That's not even on my mind. And he hasn't even looked at me twice since he's been here. You know, maybe you'd feel better if you cleaned up a little bit. Washed the house arrest off of you. I have enough to worry about right now. Trust me. I'm just saying you are single. If I were you, I'd be on a dating app getting house calls every night. I don't think death threats really are a turn-on. See, that's where you and I will have to disagree.
Sophia grins and reaches into her purse for lipstick.
Try it. $10 says he notices.
Bree eyes the lipstick tube, then frowns. She walks down and sits on a deck step.
Hey.
Hey.
I wanted to see if there was something that pointed back to what started the fire.
You know how to disassemble boat motors?
Yeah. Looks like impeller failure. That makes sense. With a t-shirt blocking the water intake.
You think someone clogged it on purpose?
Wasn't an accident. T-shirt hasn't been in the water long.
Did you find anything else?
He tosses the shirt and shakes his head.
No.
Xavier pulls out his phone and shows it to her.
this number mean anything to you?
I don't think so. Oh, why?
Just checking.
She bounces her legs and gazes out at the water as he works on the boat engine. She wears a beige sweater and leggings.
You look nice.
She bites her dark purple lips at his compliment. Later, she lounges in the bathtub with her ankle monitor raised up and off to the side of the tub. She lifts her legs straight up in the air as she eyes the black monitor. She brings a plate of food to Xavier's van.
Is everything okay?
It's fine. Are you hungry?
So you made me dinner.
You can take it off my tab.
He nods.
Thanks.
She gazes back at the house.
Hey, do you want to join me?
I do fine by myself.
That's very brooding of you. Unfortunately, I am the boss, and I would like some company.
Okay, I'll get dressed. Boss.
He smiles and hops in his van, then shuts the door behind him as she walks back to the house with his plate of food. He puts on his black denim jacket as he sits beside a pile of newspaper clippings about Cheyenne, the missing woman. They dine together on the deck at nighttime.
We've been spending a lot of time together. It's really weird that I don't know anything about you. Like, where are you from?
All over.
How about this? If I guess something right about you, you take a step closer. If you guess something right about me, I'll take one step towards you. If I win, you will relax and eat. If I lose, you can continue standing there stoically. Cool?
He takes another bite.
You're from a small town.
He doesn't move.
You're from Arizona. Judging by your accent, Phoenix.
Wow. I didn't know people in Phoenix had an accent.
I can read people easily.
This should be fun. You moved to Sandpoint because you're running from something.
Yeah. From a middle-class family. No. Lower middle class.
She takes a step closer.
Ouch. You're an only child. Going by your social skills.
He stays put.
You have a sister. Definitely the older one.
She steps closer.
You played football in high school.
You're athletic. Runner.
She stands face to face with him as he eats.
Okay. I'll win. Have your meal.
She slowly turns away from him with wine glass in hand.
You really can tell all of that just by looking at me?
No.
She glares at him.
I Googled you.
Come on. That's not fair.
I'm not here to be fair. I'm here to protect you.
Which I'm very grateful for. Not the most intimidating person.
Look, let me show you something.
He sets down his plate.
Jiu-jitsu. It's like human chess.
You know jiu-jitsu too?
Yeah.
He tugs on his jacket.
So what you do is you take your opponent's weight and you use it against him. Put your glass.
She takes a swill of wine, then sets down the glass and brushes her hands down the sides of her beige dress.
If I come at you with a punch, lock it. Right. So then, I want you to shift your weight right there. Mix in my body. You feel that? All right. Take me back like this. You see that?
She nods carefully.
I'm gonna tell you to take my weight over and let the momentum take me over.
Sorry. I should have warned you. I'm a badass.
Yeah. Nah, I should have read it. So, it's on me, really.
You know, if you don't tell me something about yourself, I'm gonna have to make it up.
He shakes his head.
You're tough on the outside, but I think you're a big softy on the inside. The kind of guy who carries missing persons posters in his bag.
Hey, you know, I should get back to the...
You're not going anywhere until you tell me something. Anything.
When I say that I'm from everywhere, I mean it. I come from a military family. We moved around a lot. But no matter where we went, my father would find an old theater playing a cowboy movie. And he'd drag us off to see it.
See, was that so hard?
He shakes his head with a grin.
So, why do you carry those posters around?
He removes the ice bag from his shoulder. He looks down for a long moment, then glances over at Bree.
Cheyenne is my sister, and I carry the posters around because somebody keeps taking them down, and I'm not gonna let this town forget her. She moved over here a few years ago and just stopped answering my calls. So, I put my life on hold and I moved here to try to find her. But when the police just wouldn't take me serious and respond, I bought that old RV out there and I took it upon myself. And that was 2 years ago.
Bree reaches for his shoulder.
She's lucky to have you.
Listen, I gotta go.
He deflects and leaves the house.
Good night.
She shrugs. Text. Day 102 of 365. She places an empty wine bottle in a trash bag.
Yeah, I just wanted to come by and see Brianna. I can't let you do that. Let's go.
Hey, come on. Get your hands off me. Bro, this is my house.
Michael.
Brianna. Tell him to let me go.
What are you doing here?
I came to see how you're doing. Pick up a few things. I'll only be a minute.
Bree shrugs as she stands on the balcony.
Let him up.
Xavier releases Michael's hands. Michael dusts off his navy jacket and enters.
Wow. This place looks great. You've been taking good care of it. Hey, House, put on some coffee.
Right away, Michael.
I miss this place. I miss that view.
He grins at the sunny view as Bree stands in the shadows and rolls her eyes.
I miss that view more.
Forgive you, by the way, for testifying against me.
Michael.
You're lucky they let you stay here. You got off easy, trust me, prison
Michael.
Is...
What are you doing here? You know I can get in trouble for this.
I'm sorry, I just wanted to see you. You have no idea how lonely it was in that place.
Bree shakes her head.
Well, here I am, because of you. You could stop everything that you've been doing now.
He shrugs and furrows his brows.
Stop what?
All of it. The theatrics, the photographs, everything. You've made your point.
Photographs? What are you talking about?
You have been taking pictures of me and leaving them outside.
Has someone been bothering you?
Michael, please.
You think I would do something like that?
He gestures to himself as he sits on the couch.
I'm trying to move forward with my life.
I'm sorry. I just don't know who else could be doing this.
Michael stands up from the sofa and rubs his nose on the back of his hand. He picks up an empty wine bottle.
How many of these have you gone through?
Stop it.
I was hoping you'd slow down on the drinking a little, but...
It's none of your business.
He gazes at her with a frown.
It's my business when it's my wine and my home.
He advances closer toward her and she laces her fingers together.
Michael, please. Could you just tell the truth for once?
Brianna, I've been in prison for months. I have no idea what's going on. Okay, but if you're in some kind of trouble or you're scared, I can always help you.
He stands face to face with her.
And I want you to know that I'm sorry about how everything went down. Things are different now, and I can prove that to you if you let me.
She subtly gestures her hand for Xavier to enter.
Xavier, can you show him out, please?
Xavier grabs Michael by the arm and pushes him out of the door as Bree remains in the living room. Nighttime falls over the house. Bree lies on her stomach, asleep in bed. A lock on the door twists. The thermostat setting raises from 72 degrees up to 85 degrees. A vent on the wall begins to flood the room with hot air. Bree tosses and turns in bed.
House, lower the temperature. House, turn off the heater.
She tugs on her long-sleeved shirt to cool herself.
House, are you there?
A light turns on in the hallway, then goes out. The flickering repeats several times and Bree reaches for her taser on the nightstand. She steps out from under the covers and holds a stun gun in her hand as she approaches the hallway.
Xavier? Xavier!
She turns on the light switch beside her bedroom and nothing happens. She slowly makes her way downstairs into the living room, where a single table lamp illuminates. One by one, more lamps in the living room glow, then dim. Bree rounds the corner and approaches the security panel, which displays that the house is locked and prompts her to sign in. She presses a series of gray buttons. Text, access denied. The lights in the house randomly flash on and off in different rooms. Bree turns away from the security panel with furrowed brows and makes her way to the front door. She tries to open it, but the door is locked from the outside. She returns to a glowing lamp by the stairway, and a shadowy figure looms on the stairs as she checks her phone. The figure leaps onto her, causing the stun gun to fall from her hand. She struggles against her attacker. A lamp falls over. Bree grabs an empty wine bottle and smashes it over his shoulder. She approaches the sliding glass doors to the patio and tries to open them as her attacker approaches and strangles her. The scene goes black and Xavier appears atop Bree.
Bree, wake up. Hey, Bree, wake up.
He helps her to her feet and embraces her as she weeps. Text, day 103 of 365.
I came as soon as I seen all the lights flashing. Keypad wouldn't let me in. I was gonna break the window, but then the door just unlocked.
He cleans up debris from the assault.
Michael. He's the only other person that could have control over the house.
Why would he do that? Come in and hit you when he's on parole.
To remind me I can't escape him.
Xavier clears broken glass from a side table, then pauses as he picks up something small and studies it in his hand.
Bree. Check this out.
He approaches her and holds up the item, a round lens.
Is that a camera?
Yeah. Hidden in the picture frame. I thought there were no cameras in the house.
She frowns as she studies it.
I didn't think there were. Son of a bitch has been watching me this entire time.
She cries as she looks around the living room.
Are there cameras everywhere? See me everywhere.
Listen, calm down. I'll sweep the house. I'll see if there are more, okay?
Xavier, I'm a sitting duck here. We have to do something.
I think I know someone who can help. I promise we'll figure this out.
Could you just stay the night in the house? Just for now. I have a guest room that you can use. Just
She shakes her head and fights back tears.
I don't want to be alone.
Of course.
Xavier enters the guest room, which has a sliding glass door leading to the balcony. He grabs an item on the bed, then tosses it back down and sits with a sigh. He eats an apple as he flops back on the spacious guest bed. Text. Day 104 of 365. A woman walks past as Xavier and Bree sit on the couch.
All right, that's all of them.
She grins as Xavier pounds his chest.
Wow.
She sits across from Bree and Xavier.
So how do you know each other?
Dex and I used to work together.
Yeah, okay. So here's the deal. Someone gained access to your system via the app that controls the house. I tried to check the IP address, but nothing's coming up. Probably spoofed through a VPN.
What do you mean?
It means that your attacker covered their tracks.
Exactly. I locked out any other users, so only you have control. Now, about the cameras. I can't find a way to access the video feeds online, meaning it's being stored locally.
So we can watch the footage.
Oh, no, that's the thing. It's not being stored locally here. I was able to track it to a location closer to the city, about 50 miles away.
Michael's house. It was our main residence. It has to be there.
If you want to see the footage, that's where you'll find it.
That's not really an option.
Okay, cool.
Dex eyes the ankle bracelet.
Maybe I could go in. Get in and out before anybody sees me.
I'm not staying here alone. And you don't know the property. I used to live there. I could help. I could just get the hell out of this house.
I could get you out of here.
Really?
Yeah, that ankle monitor uses a SIM card with GPS to determine your position and a cell data network to send the coordinates back. So all you really need to do is build a Faraday cage to block the signal, fake a phone network to bypass any tamper control, remove the SIM card and access it with your phone. Boom.
I have no idea what you just said.
Basically, your probation officer will think that your phone is your ankle monitor. It can buy you a little bit of time.
I'm in.
They crowd around a house sketch.
First, we'll have to get to Michael's safe room upstairs. It's where the security system is. That's where we'll find the hard drive.
Safe room. This guy would have a safe room.
You know, if you want to break into a house, anything like this one, there's going to be some serious tech involved. I mean, we're talking cameras, alarms, motion lights.
We'll just wait until he goes upstairs. If we can cut the power out, we can get in without him seeing us.
I can try and access the power grid remotely, turn it off there.
Great. But he has a backup generator in the backyard. It automatically turns on when the power goes out. We'll have to disarm it so we can get inside and get out before he figures it out.
So if we take the hard drive, would that automatically wipe the footage of us being inside?
Theoretically.
Say we find out Michael is behind this. We can't exactly just take the stolen footage to the police.
Bree frowns and shakes her head.
All the lies he's told? All the times he's made me question myself over and over again? I just need to know.
Okay. I'll get to work on breaking into the power grid. It should only take me a day or two.
So, how do we stop the signal to her ankle monitor?
I have a plan.
Text. Day 105 of 365.
It loses signal down here, but be careful. If it gets damaged or it cuts off, it starts recording and the cops will show up.
Good to know.
Well, you know what? You can use my phone for network. Bree's gonna need hers.
I'm chivalrous. Don't forget to put the SIM card back when you're done.
Got it. Probably get a call in a few minutes anyway.
Bree holds up her phone to Xavier as she receives a call from Nancy, P.O. She answers it.
Hey, Nancy. No, I forgot, I'm sorry. Yes, I'm in the basement. Nope, I'll head upstairs right now.
She shrugs.
Do you see me? You don't?
No. You don't have to send anybody over. It's okay. Oh, good. Good, you see me, yes. I'm sorry. Good night.
Oh my God, I'm about to have a heart attack.
It worked.
You know this is insane, right?
Yeah.
You ready?
As ready as I'm gonna be. I'm gonna be driving though, okay?
No, I need to look
your RV is not inconspicuous.
Whatever you say.
He purses his lips and leaves the wine cellar.
Xavier and I, we served together, the Marines. He's a really good man.
Dex and Bree smile at each other. At night, Bree's headlights go out as she parks the car outside of Michael's house. Xavier sits in the passenger seat.
Come on. Come on, Michael, go upstairs already. Jesus.
Hey, we can pull this off.
The most illegal thing I've ever done was skip school. This is just...
just nerves. Talk to me.
About what?
Anything. It's the first thing you want to do. You come off house arrest.
Go for a run. I miss feeling the wind on my face. I used to run up and down this hill. Until Michael decided it was too dangerous.
How did you meet him anyway?
Sophia introduced us. Took me to a party at this house, actually. Never thought I'd live here. That's enough about Michael. What about you? What are your plans?
Well, I've been so focused on Cheyenne that I haven't thought much beyond that.
Do you have any leads?
I searched her apartment right before she went missing. I got into her phone records. There was a number that she was calling, but haven't been able to track it down.
The number that you asked me about?
Yeah. Apparently it's from a burner phone. I gave that information to the police, and they didn't do anything with that either.
Bree frowns. The lights go out in Michael's room on the top floor of the house.
Okay, that's our cue. Ready?
They discreetly walk along a row of palm trees, then squat beside a backup generator as Bree makes a call.
Hey, Dex. He's upstairs. Are you ready?
All of the lights on the top floor illuminate, then go black as they shut off the generator.
Let's go.
They approach the front door.
You know how to pick locks, too?
Yeah.
Xavier works on the door lock.
This one's a little tight here. I'm just... Really so good at this. It just takes a second, but we'll be in no time.
Bree opens the door from the inside of the house and lets Xavier in. She quietly shuts the door behind him. They run off to the right as Michael descends the stairs, shirtless and sweaty. Once he has passed by them, Bree and Xavier creep upstairs into Michael's bedroom. Xavier shines a light around the space.
This is your room, huh?
Once upon a time.
What a piece of shit.
Michael examines the generator.
Got it.
Michael looks at the upstairs balcony.
Here's the system. Okay, but what am I looking for?
It's a plastic or metal box.
They're all plastic and metal. Which one?
A hard drive. Just look.
They examine the cluttered electronics.
This is the address to the lake house.
That's it.
Lights turn on in the room as Bree disables the recording at the house. A woman saunters into the bedroom.
Michael, did you get it working?
She passes by the closet where they are hiding. Michael stands downstairs with a big grin and beats on his chest.
There be light.
The woman joins him downstairs and they kiss. Bree and Xavier watch the footage as Michael makes out with her downstairs.
Close the door, he's coming.
Bree runs over and tries to shut the closet door.
It's stuck.
Xavier's mouth opens wide as Michael and the woman saunter into the bedroom with big smiles. She wraps her arms around his shoulders as he caresses the small of her back. He dips her backwards onto the bed as she continues to kiss him. He glances over at the closet door left ajar.
Did you open that? Did you go in there?
No.
He walks over to the closet and pulls the door open. As he peers into the spacious walk-in closet, he finds everything to be in order. He returns to his lover as she sits on the bed.
Did you go through my things?
No. It's literally in the shower with you. The power went out and I stayed right here. I didn't go anywhere.
Well, then why is the damn door open?
I don't know.
Well, I didn't go in there. That leaves one other person. So don't talk to me like I'm an idiot!
Get your hands off of me.
That is my private space. You have no right being in there.
I wasn't. You can go screw yourself. I'm leaving.
Shit. Wait, Mackenzie, I'm sorry. Hold on a minute, you don't have to go.
Xavier embraces Bree as they hide beneath the bed. He shakes his head as Bree rolls out from beneath the bed. Xavier notices a flip phone tucked under the mattress. He grabs it and follows Bree downstairs. The four security cameras monitoring the kitchen, living room, front door and upstairs display Xavier and Bree carefully sneaking downstairs as Michael drinks in the kitchen. Michael leaves his beer on the kitchen island as he walks toward the living room. Xavier and Bree duck down and hide behind the edge of the stairs until Xavier returns to the kitchen. They pass the stairs and approach the exit. They make it outside and hide around the corner of the garage. Michael storms out of the kitchen and eyes the front door. He opens it and steps outside. He looks around the porch, then goes back inside. Bree and Xavier share a laugh as she drives them back to the lake house. Bree glances down at her phone as it buzzes. She answers it with eyes wide.
Hello, Nancy? What do you mean you can't see me?
Nancy and a police officer run up the stairs to the lake house. Nancy knocks on the door as the officer stands behind her.
Miss Collins!
Bree answers the door.
Hey, Nancy! I told you I was here.
We've been here one too many times, Miss Collins. And your behavior is increasingly erratic.
I'm sorry, I told you about the basement.
And that's no longer an excuse, okay? I'm sorry, we went over this. Cuff her.
No, wait. Nancy, please. I've had a really, really rough year. I lost my husband, my home, my freedom. Everything I've loved has been taken from me. But I am here. I'm here where I'm supposed to be. Please, please, just give me one more chance.
Nancy eyes her. Bree shuts the front door and leans up against it as she catches her breath. She steps toward Xavier, grabs him around the neck and plants a passionate kiss on his lips. He pauses for a moment, then wraps his broad arms around her lower back and makes out with her. They lie in bed together. Xavier lifts his chin and slowly retracts from his embrace of her sleeping body. Xavier opens the flip phone he stole from beneath Michael's bed. He uses his cell phone to call the mysterious number, and Michael's phone rings. He breathes heavily and stands with his hand on his hip. Xavier covers his mouth, then smacks the phone across the table. Text, day 107 of 365. Sunlight streams down upon a mountaintop near the river. Bree tosses and turns in bed. She sits up, then appears downstairs in a robe as Xavier eats breakfast.
Good morning.
Morning to you too. Hey, I love this kitchen.
How was your night?
Before or after breaking and entering. Yeah. So, the hard drive is encrypted. I have to run it by Dex. With any luck, we'll have some answers soon.
Great.
She takes a bite of fruit.
Something I need you to know. Found his phone under Michael's bed last night.
She takes the phone.
It's a burner phone. It's a phone that Cheyenne was calling when she disappeared.
Hold on. Cheyenne was calling Michael?
Cheyenne disappeared at Sandpoint Lake. So that means the son of a bitch had something to do with it.
Xavier clenches his jaw as he leans back against the oven.
Ah, that's Dex. I gotta go. We're gonna go through the footage.
Wait, you're leaving?
Yeah.
She holds his hand.
I'll be back soon. All
right. He plants a tender kiss on her lips, then runs to his RV parked outside.
Have there been any incidents since I saw you last? Break-ins, things like that.
Bree glances at Detective Joe.
Oh, plenty. Probably just the house settling, though.
He winces and looks away from her.
I understand you've been working with Xavier Johnson recently.
I didn't have a lot of options after you guys turned me down.
Have you had any issues with him?
Why would I have issues?
Are you familiar with his criminal record? He's currently a suspect in the disappearance of his sister, Cheyenne Clark. We're building a case against him. But if I were you, I'd keep my distance.
She shakes her head.
I don't understand. Xavier isn't a criminal. He's private security.
That background is part of what makes him so dangerous.
She glances up at him.
How did you get that black eye, Miss Collins?
What about Michael? Is he involved in the Cheyenne case?
Well, he was a person of interest, but we cleared him quickly. Airtight alibi.
Which was what?
Our work trip. Oh. Corroborated by several of his colleagues. Does that sound right to you?
He did a lot of things I wasn't aware of. I didn't even know you knew Cheyenne.
Joe nods with eyes wide.
I know this is a lot to take in, but you can trust me. My only priority is your safety.
Michael walks away from his house.
Mr. Johnson has a history of violence. I don't know how he'll react if he's pushed.
An RV speeds down the road to hit Michael.
Miss Collins. Do you understand what I'm saying to you?
He furrows his brows and answers a phone call.
Detective Hall.
Bree looks down at the table and shakes her head.
Uh-huh. I'll be right there.
Joe hangs up the call and rises from the table.
Michael was just struck in a hit and run. He's en route to the hospital. Witnesses say an RV fled the scene.
What do you mean? Wait, what do I do?
Well, sit still. Is there someone you can call to be with you?
Bree examines her black eye in the mirror beside Sophia.
Did Xavier do this?
No, I don't think so. But now I have no idea, especially after everything that's happened to Michael.
Xavier did have a lot to gain. The man showed up in an old RV and now he's living in your lakeside home. You didn't sleep with him, did you?
Bree glances over and flits a brow at Sophia. Bree opens up a folder and examines Cheyenne's missing person poster. She leafs through a few photos, then glances back at Sophia, who lingers in the guest bedroom doorway. Xavier's RV returns to the lake house. Sophia and Bree stand outside and wait for him.
Hey, I've been calling you. Listen, Dex finally cracked this.
He notices his satchel in a box outside.
Something wrong?
What happened to your mirror?
He glances back at the RV as she furrows brows.
It was like that when I left Dex's house. don't know. I didn't see it happen.
And why do you have those Polaroids of Cheyenne? They look just like the pictures that were taken of me.
I got those from Cheyenne's apartment. Those are the last pictures I have of her.
I want to thank you, really. But I think that we should stop this.
What, working together? Or us?
She shrugs and flits her brows.
Both.
Bree, I don't know what's going on with you, but all I've tried to do is help you. We are so close to figuring this out. And I don't want what happened to Cheyenne to happen to you.
She scowls at him with her lips pursed and hands on her hips.
I put your things in a box. You should leave.
Bree.
She turns away for a moment, then faces him again.
You're better on your own, right?
Well, here. This belongs to you.
He holds up the security device they stole from Michael's house. He sets it down on the concrete as he grabs the box full of his things. Bree avoids eye contact with him while Sophia glares at him. He turns and heads back to his RV.
You did the right thing. We have an officer watching Mr. Johnson while we move forward on an arrest. He won't come anywhere near there without being intercepted.
Thank you, Detective. I'm sorry for all this.
Listen to me. If someone has a plan in mind, they're gonna make it happen. That's not on you. You're safe now.
Sophia rubs Bree's back as the phone call ends.
Like the detective said, he won't come near here. Look, let's take your mind off of this. I'm gonna go change into some sweats and then let's watch some trashy TV, okay?
Bree nods as she stands in a corner of the house lined with windows. She peers outside and notices Xavier's RV. She grabs her phone, glances out at the RV once again, and makes a phone call.
Detective, Xavier's RV is outside of my house. You said you would have a cop on him by now. Sophia!
The attacker beats Bree with a wine bottle. Bree slowly regains consciousness as she sits in the living room. She glances across the room at Xavier, who lies on the couch, unconscious. Bree tries to move her hands and realizes they are tied with rope. She struggles against the rope, then glances side to side around the living room. She notices a stiletto heel on the floor in front of her. She reaches her foot out as far as she can stretch in an attempt to grab the shoe. Her chair falls over onto the side, and as she falls, she kicks a wine glass from the table. It shatters in front of her face. A pair of black boots approach her. She gazes up at a figure dressed in all black with their face obscured. They wear gloves and a black hoodie. Mackenzie opens the double doors into Michael's bedroom as two police officers follow her inside.
Michael Miller, County Sheriff's Department. Hello.
Michael steps out of the bathroom with a sling.
Hi. What's going on?
The hospital called regarding a hit and run. Do you have a moment?
Look, I already went through this with the other guy, the detective.
Detective?
Yeah, one of you guys from the Sheriff's Department.
Do you remember who you spoke with?
Joe Hall.
Joe Hall, you ever heard of him?
Sir, there is no Detective Joe Hall, the Sheriff's Department.
The attacker turns Bree upright in her seat.
Who are you?
He removes his hood. A face mask obscures his features. He lifts off the mask and reveals he is Detective Joe.
That depends on who you ask. Always paying. But you can call me Joe.
for Sophia.
You don't need to worry about her anymore.
A tear rolls down Bree's cheek.
What do you want from me?
I don't want anything from you.
He smirks and glances back at Xavier, unconscious on the couch. Joe stands up.
You ever had a cockroach problem? Probably not with a house this nice. But the shithole I grew up in had them everywhere. They're persistent little bastards. Impossible to kill unless you got a good plan. Turns out your little boyfriend over here is pretty persistent too.
He points at Xavier.
That Cheyenne girl? She's dead. I weighed her down and dumped her right into that lake. I take down every one of the posters of her around town. It's not that I need to. Nobody cares about her anymore except him. He keeps on pushing it. So, he's gotta go.
Bree glances over at Xavier.
Is he dead?
Joe raises a finger, then checks on Xavier.
Not yet. But with the amount of dope I shot him up with, he should be close. In the end, he'll look like a war vet turned drug addict who couldn't handle his girlfriend breaking up with him. So he got high as a helicopter and killed her before taking his own life. Tragic.
Joe steps toward Bree with his hands clasped. He stoops down to her face and purses his lips.
Between you and me, I feel really bad involving you in all this. Honestly, I respect you. Getting all this just for banging a guy for a few years. Now that's a scam. They call me a con man, but you robbed your husband blind and played the victim. Now that takes balls. Well.
He furrows his brows and sighs as he grins.
I hope you enjoyed it all while it lasted.
He caresses her temple and she shuts her eyes.
I'll make it quick. Promise. It won't hurt at all.
He grins as he backs away from her.
Please. Please don't do this. You don't have to.
He starts a record player.
I love this song.
He grabs a pistol.
Wait. Can I say one last thing?
She cuts her rope.
No.
She kicks the gun from his hand, grabs the nude stiletto, and stabs him in the face. She takes the gun and shoots toward him, but misses every shot as he cowers and runs downstairs. Runs down the patio stairs as he pursues her. As she tries to unlock the gate, he nabs her and pushes her down into the grass. Xavier throws a knife into his arm. Joe pulls the knife from his arm and eyes the blade as Xavier stumbles down the steps. He turns and stabs Xavier's chest. Xavier falls to the ground as Bree runs away.
How are you gonna regret this? Now I'm gonna make you feel it.
He wields the knife at her as she raises her hands in defense. She drops him to the ground the way Xavier taught her to do and crawls after the knife. He grips her foot and she stabs his arm. She lifts a heavy object and bets him over the head with it twice. He lies motionless in the grass near the river dock. Text. Day 108 of 365. The sun rises up just beyond the distant mountaintop. Bree rushes to Xavier as Ems carry him out on a stretcher.
Xavier, hold on.
Hold on.
Okay. Okay. On that.
He keeps pressure on his stab wound. Bree glances Dione at her pink jacket, now stained with blood. Police lights flash as a coroner tends to Joe's body. Bree runs back inside.
Sophia! 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 Sophia!
She opens a closet door and finds her handcuffed.
Oh my God, Sophia! Sophia!
Bree caresses her jaw and Sophia's eyes open.
Help!
Text. Day 114 of 365. We soar over the winding river that passes through Bree's backyard. Bree reaches for a bottle of wine and pours herself a glass as she uses a laptop at the kitchen island. She watches footage of the patio as Joe installs a camera. Text. Day 116 of 365. Xavier places a bouquet of flowers at his sister's memorial site. Colorful flowers, candles, and pinwheels adorn a plaque with her smiling face. Xavier joins Bree inside the lake house.
I was going through the hard drive. Everything points back to Joe. So who was he?
Joe Mitchell. He had a record. Most recently for assault. When they pulled Cheyenne's body out of the lake, DNA was linked back to him.
Xavier.
At least you're safe.
Why? Why me? Why Cheyenne?
Sometimes there's no explanation.
I feel like there's something more.
It's time for us both to move on.
He furrows his brows with a frown as Bree gazes up at him. He plants a soft kiss on her forehead.
I'll see you around.
He backs away from her as she stands by the sliding glass doors with hands on her hips. She gazes out at the river. At night, she continues to watch security footage on her laptop. She watches herself check the security panel and shakes her head.
How are you controlling the house?
She holds her temple with her fingertips, then frowns as she continues to watch the footage. At night, Joe looms on the staircase before he pounces atop Bree. The footage switches to the empty bedroom, the empty cellar, and then to the dock, where another person dressed in all black operates an electronic device. Text. Day 130 of 365. Sophia pours herself a glass of red wine. She swirls it with a smile, then sips.
Oaky, with a finish of nutmeg.
Bree smiles at her friend.
You did a great job cleaning up the place. Wish I could have helped. How are you feeling now?
She gazes out the window.
Better than I have in a long time, actually. Starting to think about what I'll do next. Once I'm free.
I'm so glad. So catch me up. Did the police close the investigation?
Yeah. They wrapped it up and moved on. Joe attacked me and it's pretty cut and dry. There's just one thing that I'm having trouble with. Maybe you can help me.
Of course, anything.
I know why Joe wanted to kill Xavier, but why was he after me? Why pretend to be a cop at all?
It's common to have questions after something like this. A lot of victims struggle to find closure.
Maybe.
You must be relieved your stalker's finally gone.
That would be.
Bree tilts her head, then glances up at Sophia.
But Joe wasn't my stalker. At least, not the only one.
Bree furrows brows.
You were, Sophia. The both of you.
Bree, that's ridiculous. You said it yourself. Joe attacked you. I don't know why.
I think you do. There's a common thread between Xavier and Joe. You.
Sophia smiles as she lets Detective Joe into the house. She hands Xavier's business card to Bree.
Is that what this is about? How was I supposed to know?
Court records show that you represented a Joseph Mitchell in an assault case a few years back. And one, you both knew each other.
Firm represents a lot of people, Bree. And don't forget, he attacked me too.
The cops found an RV parked down the street, missing a mirror, just like Xavier's. But it was registered to Joe. And Xavier's RV was at his friend's house when his mirror got smashed.
I was at work. I can have a dozen colleagues vouch for me.
I assumed you would cover your tracks, but I didn't think you would be so bad at it.
Sophia narrows her eyes.
Then again, you didn't expect us to survive. And Joe was with me when Michael got hit, so it must have been you driving.
Stop it. That's enough. If you want to end a friendship over a bunch of circumstantial evidence, that's fine.
Sophia glares at Bree.
You go down this road. It's your loss.
House, lock the doors.
Sophia's jaw drops.
Are you out of your mind?
I spent weeks looking through the security footage from the cameras that you or I didn't know about.
You know what I found?
Sophia scowls as Bree smirks and raises her brows.
Michael saved some really interesting clips.
Bree scans a series of 18 folders, each titled a different woman's name. Bree clicks on one folder titled Cheyenne. Footage appears of Cheyenne and Michael embracing in the cellar. She notices one folder titled Sophia.
You were screwing my husband. That's what all this is about. I knew you were in love with him. I just didn't think that you would take it this far.
Bree stands up from her seat by the laptop.
Is that why you had Cheyenne killed? You knew that Michael would never let me go. And Xavier would never let Cheyenne go. So you needed us both dead.
You'll never prove any of this.
Bree glances down at the laptop with Sophia's folder selected. She presses a button and Sophia appears on Michael's lap in the living room.
Be right back.
She saunters away from the couch in a red bralette and sheer skirt. Michael makes a phone call. She leaves her thong under the couch.
Hey, Brianna. My work trip got cut short. Yeah, it was pretty boring. I'll be back home later tonight. Alright, I love you, baby.
He gets up from the couch as Sophia struts downstairs.
Hey, something came up with work. I gotta go. You got the login for the app that controls the house. You can just lock up before you leave.
You knew how to control the house from your phone. But what you didn't know is you were just a distraction for Michael.
You couldn't even keep him happy. That's why he needed me.
Is that what you told Joe so that he could help you? Or were you screwing him too?
Joe was simple.
Not like Michael.
Bree smirks and taps her chest.
He loved me. He wanted Cheyenne. And he just merely tolerated you because you made yourself easy.
Michael does love me. He'll realize it once you're gone. And since Joe couldn't kill you, I'll have to do it myself.
Remember when all this started and you said that this was a game? Well, I'm playing.
Her ankle monitor flashes.
This thing records audio when it's being tampered with. And I smashed it right before you came over. Clumsy me. The police, they're on their way right now and they heard everything that you said.
I never understood what he saw in you. You were always so needy with Michael, with me.
Bree smacks Sophia to the ground.
I do fine on my own. And I'm pretty sure that my lawyer sleeping with my co-defendant is pretty good grounds to get my plea deal thrown out. House, unlock the doors.
Xavier storms in the front door with eyes wide. Police follow him inside.
You ain't even need me.
Xavier furrows his brows as the police officers handcuff Sophia. She glares at Bree, then turns and leaves the house. The sun sets over the mountain range. Text: Day 1 of 365. A sold sign hangs outside of the house. The beta fish Sophia gave Bree swims around the bowl.
Hey. So I called the police department up in Oakland. Your man got an interview next week.
Yes, congratulations.
Thank you. And where do you think you're going?
They kiss each other.
Out.
We still have to pack.
You still have to pack.
She turns and leaves the house with a smirk. He shrugs.
I'm packing.
Bree stands outside of the house with no ankle monitor. She holds her foot out toward the street, then takes her first step off of the property in months. She smiles as she leans her head back, then looks side to side. She folds forward, then jogs down the sidewalk with a grin. She approaches a fork in the walking trail, then pauses with hands on hips and looks side to side as she catches her breath. A gentle breeze blows through the lush trees bordering the river. Credits: Production Coordinator, Christopher Y. Kim. First Assistant Director, Zach Walker. Second Assistant Director, Chris Villalba. Cast: Bree Collins, Novi Brown. Xavier Johnson, Terrell Carter. Sophia Aquino, Kimberly Daugherty. Detective Joe Hall, Malcolm Goodwin. Michael Miller, Christopher Bencomo. Nancy, Judy Kane. Dex, Megan Davis. Mackenzie, Carly Eldridge. Cheyenne Clark, Chris Marshall. Smart House Voice, Rosie Okumura. Father, Mike Capazzi. Cop Number 1, Robert Bailey Jr. Cop Number 2, Brant Daugherty. Stunt Performer Bree Collins Nyla Johnson. Stunt Performer, Mike Capazzi. Stunt Coordinator Chris Gann. Crew, Production Attorneys Bradley Garrett, Nicholas Kurz. Steadicam Operator Anthony Valero. Digital Imaging Technician Ted Janopoulos. Stills Photographers Victor Curtis, Scott Everett White. Gaffer, Stephen Krajewski. Additional Gaffer, Ash Basine. Best Boy Electric, Harrison Wong. Additional Best Boy Electric, Benji Payne, Charlie Osborne. For Mar Vista Entertainment, Chief Operating Officer, Tony Vasiliadis. Chief Financial Officer, Daryl Cross. SVP Business and Legal Affairs, Janet Savage. Business and Legal Affairs, Tanya Miller. Head of Production, Ani Kavork. VP Strategy and Business Development, Jordan Barillas. SVP Marketing and Communications, Dina Stern. Controller, Jeff Lin. Post-Production Supervisor, Flora Jingxuan Ni. Post-Production Coordinators, Jasna Manjencic. Logos, The Ninth House, Mar Vista Entertainment. The characters and events depicted in this motion picture are fictional. Any similarities to actual persons or animals living or dead are purely coincidental. Copyright 2022 Mar Vista Entertainment, LLC.